the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
I'd like to give everyone a very warm welcome to the service this evening. We're delighted to see you and trust that as we gather together, we'll know the Lord's blessing and the outpouring of His Holy Spirit. We're going to bow together in prayer. Our loving God and our eternal Heavenly Father, we rejoice that we can gather together in this manner to lift our hearts in praise and gratitude and also to read and to meditate upon Thy precious Word. We thank Thee that Thy Word is a living Word, able to make us wise unto salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask, Lord, that You'll bless each one that has come. Remember Thy servant, the Reverend McVeigh, as he proclaims Thy Word, that he might know help from Your sanctuary. And we ask that he might be God's mouthpiece to us this evening. Write Thy truth indelibly upon the tables of our heart, that we might not only hear, but give heed and be doers of Thy precious Word. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Bible reading this evening is taken from Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 13. We're going to commence at verse 24, going down to the end of verse 30, and then verses 36 to 43. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up, brought forth fruit, there appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. God again will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Our second hymn is in your hymn book, number 230, Life at Best is Very Brief.
Thank our brother, the Reverend Morrow, for leading the service up until this point. Harvest time has been, and indeed always will be, right across the world, a very important time of the year. I'm not sure where you're watching this broadcast from this evening, but here in Northern Ireland, it's a very familiar scene at harvest time to see the fields busy and the farmers out and all the machinery doing its business and all that has to be done at this particular time. It's also a subject that is dealt with time and time again in the Word of God. We have the theme of harvest used. We have many references to that time of year and to the processes and all that takes place even in the harvest. It's also a theme that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ himself, used on several occasions as he taught great spiritual truths, as he came to fulfill the business of his Father, as he went about preaching the gospel and telling men and women of their need of salvation. He used this great theme of the harvest. We've one of those occasions in our reading this evening. Our brother has read to us from Matthew chapter 13. And here the Lord Jesus Christ, we are told that he teaches a parable. He tells a parable here of a man who sowed good seed in his field, just like what farmers do every time of the year in preparation for the harvest. They go out into the field and they sow the seed in the field. But as Christ goes on teaching through this parable, you will notice that he teaches that while the man slept, while the farmer slept, his enemy came and he began to sow tares among the wheat. Now, tares, when they're young, they resemble corn, but ultimately and in the end, it is very damaging to the healthy crop. And so over time, as the harvest progressed and as the time of the year went by, their roots began to become intertwined and the field began to look messy. The tares and the wheats would have been growing up alongside one another. And so it was a very worrying time for the farmer. It was a worrying time for the laborers, for the servants that worked on that farm. And so we learn here, as Christ teaches, that the servants came to the man. They asked him if he should go out and gather up the tares from the field. But the man refused in his wisdom. He agreed to let the tares grow amongst the wheat. He was fearful that if they pulled up the tares before the harvest, that the wheat would also come up with it. And that brings us to the verse 30, which we want to take and focus upon as our text this evening. It says there in Matthew chapter 13 and the verse 30, "Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." And here, when the day of harvest was to come, the tares were going to be gathered up, they were going to be bound, they were going to be burned, and the wheat separately was going to be gathered safely into the farmer's barn. And this parable, I believe, centers upon this verse 30. And Christ here, he is teaching about the subject of the harvest, and that's our theme this evening. And whilst Christ is using physical language, he's using physical pictures and illustrations here, the whole purpose is to teach a greater spiritual lesson. He is speaking of a great spiritual harvest that is to come. And Christ, as he was teaching here, he was informing his hearers that one day there's going to be a separation of the tares and the wheat. There's going to be a great separation of the unsaved and the saved. There was going to be this great harvest of the Lord to come. Focusing in verse 30, there are just four things very briefly that we want to consider about Christ's teaching on the harvest. Notice here, firstly, the certainty of the harvest. The certainty of the harvest. In verse 39 of the same chapter, Matthew 13, Christ gives us an explanation of this parable that he told. And in verse 39, he explains this harvest to be representing, to be a picture, to be an illustration of the end of the world. Of course, Scripture sets forth to us in no uncertain terms that this world as we know it tonight, this world in which we live, this life at which we live, it will come to an end as we know it. As John was there in that vision, as he was looking into things to come in Revelation 21 in the verse 1, we have a record of him saying this, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." And it's a certain thing that this world is passing away. One day there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth ushered in. One day things as we know it here on earth, life as it currently is, it will cease to be. And as part of those events that will make up the end of this world and the ushering in of the new heaven and the new earth will be the great judgment. And you see, dear friend, tonight, this harvest that Christ is speaking of, this parable, this illustration that Christ has given here in Matthew 13. It is a pointer to the judgment that is coming to each and every soul. That judgment, just like the harvest, it's a certain thing. It's a certainty. It's something we can be assured of. What does that mean for you tonight? It means that there's a day and an hour, there's a moment when you will leave this scene of time, you will pass through the veil of death, and you will stand before Christ as your judge. Hebrews 9 and the verse 27 reminds us that it is appointed unto man once to die, but that's not the end, for it tells us, for after this, the judgment. We could look at the many different religions around the world. We could think about the many different teachings, the many notions of man, and they all have different views about what happens when we die. We're all agreed that we die. We all agree that one day our life will come to an end. But what happens thereafter? Some will teach that we're reincarnated as something or somebody else. Think to the pharaohs of ancient Egypt. They believed that death was just temporary and they were mummified. They were buried with their possessions. Others believe that we enter into a soul sleep. Others believe in annihilation, that everything just ceases to exist. We enter into a void and that there's nothing after this life. But we take our instruction and our authority from the Word of God this evening, and it reveals to us what really happens after death. I'm reminded in Hebrews that after death, it is appointed on to man to stand before God in the judgment. Death is not the end. This life is not all there is. There is an eternity. There's a hereafter. There's a judgment day for the soul. And this much is a certainty. And as Christ speaks of the certainty of the harvest, and as we think about how Scripture deals with the certainty of the harvest, think of verses like Genesis 8 and the verse 22, which reminds us that the harvest will not cease. We are reminded here that this appointment before the judgment seat of Christ, it's a certainty, it's a surety. So too will that opportunity come for you to answer before the Lord and Savior. If you've rejected Christ in this life, if you've lived on in your sin, if you've entered into God's eternity without ever getting right with God through Jesus Christ, you'll be like the tares here, as we will see shortly. You'll be cast off from the presence of the Lord. The certainty of this harvest. Notice, secondly, the coverage of this harvest. Christ speaks here of the field in the parable, and in verse 38, we learn that the field is the world. And so not only is the sowing of the seed here, that first part of the farmer's work, not only is that related to the whole field, but so too is the harvest. It would be illogical, it would be foolish for a farmer to sow the seed, to reap a crop on the entirety of the field, and yet only go into part of the field and only harvest part of that field. That just wouldn't happen. And so too it is when we think of the judgment that is coming. This isn't a judgment that is reserved for some. This isn't a judgment that is reserved for those who have committed the most heinous of crimes or have lived the most wicked type of lifestyle. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter where you've grown up. It doesn't matter what area you live in, what social status you might have. It doesn't even matter your religious status tonight. This is a judgment that's coming to all. Apostle Paul reminds us of that truth in 2 Corinthians 5, in the verse 10, where he says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." None are exempt from this coming day of judgment. Why? Why is your soul to be judged? Why is my soul to be judged? Why is this world to be judged in that future day? Because in its entirety, the world is corrupted and marred and tainted by sin, just like your soul this evening. Romans 5, in the verse 12, tells us, "Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." God's word tells us there is none righteous, no, not one. And tonight, dear friend, you've offended a holy and a just God. Doesn't matter how religious you might be. Doesn't matter how good living you might be. Tonight, you've offended the holy God, and there's a judgment that is coming for your soul. And Romans 6, 23 tells us that the wages or the sentence of your sin will be death. Physical death, yes, but greater than that, a spiritual death, a cutting off from God for all eternity, a casting from His presence and into that place prepared for the devil and his angels, into that place of eternal punishment for your sin. And there's a judgment that is coming to your heart and to your soul. The certainty of the harvest, the coverage of the harvest. Notice in the third place here, the chief of the harvest. In verse number 30, we learn that a man sent forth his reapers. He ordered them to separate the tares and the wheat and to bring in the harvest. And Christ, in verse 37, he explains who this man represents. He speaks of this man there as being the Son of Man. And Christ is speaking of himself. And of course, we know that Christ is the one who sows the seed. He's the one who has sent forth his gospel, his word. He's the one who has delivered the gospel message. He has delivered the great work of salvation. And he's the one here who sends the reapers into the harvest. He's the chief of the harvest. And what a thing to remember as we think about that future day of judgment. I encourage you in your own time to read Matthew chapter 25, and there we get an insight into the events that will take place at that future judgment. And at the very heart of it all is Christ. He's the chief of the harvest. He's the chief of the judgment. And one day you will stand before Christ that you mock, the Christ you blaspheme. The Christ that you have rejected, one day you will stand before him as your judge. It's not your friends that will judge you. It's not your colleagues. It's not your friends and your neighbors. It's not your family. You'll not be judged by yourself. You'll not be judged by the church. You'll not be judged by a minister. You'll not be measured up against your own standard and your own ideas. You'll not be measured up to your friends or to your peers or in accordance to your church attendance or to the philosophies of men and the crazes of the day. Many today deem themselves to be good. They deem themselves to be deserving of heaven. They deem themselves to be escaping the wrath and the justice of God because they measure themselves against their own standard. Christ will judge you against the law of God. That law which we have broken, that law which we fall far short of, that law which will condemn us as guilty before the just and the holy God, but by repenting of your sin, by trusting in Jesus Christ, the man of Calvary, the Son of the living God, the one who came to seek and to save that which was lost, the one who knew no sin, and yet he became sin for us. By trusting in him, you'll be clothed in his righteousness. Your sins will be forgiven, and you'll be accepted before God for now and for all eternity. This judgment will have Christ at its chief. It'll be Christ that you will answer to. And dear friend, you must bear that in mind this evening as we think of that future day that is coming. The certainty of the harvest, the coverage of the harvest, the chief of the harvest. One final thing to note here about this parable that Christ taught is the conclusion of this harvest. Look again at our text in verse 30 of this great chapter of Scripture. In the second half of that verse, and remember this is a picture of Christ speaking to his angels, it says there, "Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, and gather the wheat into my barn." Well, there's a future day of separation. The tares representing the unsaved here, what will become of them? We'll look at verses 40 and 42, and these are very solemn words. There's a very solemn message contained within these verses here. Christ says in verse 40, "As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." And dear unsaved soul, tonight without Christ, this is your end. Without the Savior as your own and personal Savior, this is your destination. This is your eternity. To suffer in the flames of God's wrath for your sin for all eternity. That's what awaits the tares. That's what awaits those who reject Jesus Christ. It's recorded for us here so that we might flee from the wrath that is to come. It's recorded for us so that we might make that preparation, so that we might be burdened in this side of eternity to get right with God through Jesus Christ by fleeing from our sin, by repenting of it, and by trusting in the Christ of Calvary, the one who shed his precious blood to redeem his people from their sin. You know, there's a wonderful promise in Scripture, Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Then just briefly, look at what it says about the wheat. As we close in verse number 30, it says there, but gather the wheat into my barn. This wheat here is a picture of the child of God. It's a picture of that one who has surrendered his sin. A picture of the one who has made that preparation before God through Jesus Christ. That one who has come upon his knees with that weight and burden and the guilt of sin upon him and confessed it before the Lord Jesus Christ, has thrown himself upon the Savior, has his only way of salvation, and is trusting in him for all eternity. And we're told here that they'll be gathered into God's barn. Think about that picture of a barn, that storehouse, that place of safety, that place of refuge. It's a place that speaks to us of the eternal state of the child of God, God's storehouse of eternal blessing for those who trust in Jesus Christ. It's a place of rest, a place of peace, a place where we will dwell in the glory of our Lord and Savior for all eternity. What a future for the child of God. It can be your future tonight too. Oh, we need to make preparation. There's a day of harvest coming. That's a certainty. And it's coming to every man and every woman. It's coming to every heart and to every soul. And one day you will answer before Christ of what you've done in this life, particularly of what you've done with Christ. And we urge and encourage and pray tonight that you would make that preparation, that you would flee from the wrath that is to come, prepare for the harvest, and trust in Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. We'll still our hearts in a word of prayer as we bring our meeting to a close. Our eternal Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for time spent around Thy Word. We thank Thee for the warnings of Scripture. We thank Thee, Father, that by Thy grace and Thy mercy You've instructed us that there is this day of harvest coming. And Father, we rejoice tonight that you have provided the means of preparation in thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, may we flee to him. May we repent of our sin and trust in him as our own and personal Savior. Bless thy word to our hearts. And do it good, we pray. May it bring forth much fruit in the days that lie ahead. And we'll be careful to give thee all the praise and all the glory. For it's in Christ's precious and worthy name we ask. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.